And welcome to another episode of Now About That with James and Sarah. I'm James.
And I am Sarah.
And today we decided to, we were going to originally watch
Megan.
But then we realized that the only place you can actually watch it if you don't own it is on Amazon. And neither of us really use Amazon anymore. So we had to figure out something else to watch. So I was looking on YouTube because we both have YouTube Premium. Mm-hmm. And the option to watch Hairspray, which I've seen it. Had you seen it before?
I had seen snippets of it, but I'd never seen the whole thing.
Yeah. I saw it and I was like, we could watch it because I keep seeing it come up on my TikTok a lot. So I was like, we could watch it again. Why not?
I have so many opinions.
so we watched that and I was like, this is a really not very good movie.
Not a good movie at all. First of all, the music wasn't all that great.
No.
You know, it just was not that good. The music was just not that good.
And the original one wasn't even a musical.
Really?
Yeah. The original Hairspray wasn't a musical.
Oh, I didn't know that it wasn't a musical. Here's what I know about the original Hairspray. John Waters was involved in it. And Divine played Tracy's mom.
Yeah.
And John Waters did make an appearance at the beginning of the movie as a flasher, which is gross. I don't know why anybody thinks that's funny. Like, it's not. As somebody who has unfortunately had that happen to me multiple times over my life, it's not funny. It's disturbing and terrifying when it happens. So I always hate seeing that in any movie where they're making light of that. I'm like, yeah. No, that's actually a really scarring experience for the person who got flashed.
So it says while there was music in it and it was all about becoming part of like the dance TV dance show, it's not a musical, technically.
Okay. Yeah, the music was not that great.
Did you see that? So in the original movie, let's look at the cast in the original movie. So John Waters was Dr. Fredrickson, which I don't even know what that is.
I don't think
that was included in the new movie.
I don't think it
was. And then Edna Turnblad is Divine. So we already knew that. Ricky Lake played Tracy Turnblad in the original movie.
I think I knew that.
Yeah. Leslie, she was actually in the 2007 movie too.
What's she? I didn't even see her.
She was like, it was a quick flash at the Miss Teen, whatever it is, pageant or thing where they, he was in the audience.
Okay.
And then Leslie Ann Powers, which I don't know who that is technically, but she played her friend Penny Pingleton. Jerry Stiller is Wilbur Turnblad. Deborah Harry played Velma Von Tussle, so the evil mom.
Mm-hmm.
Vitamin C.
Who was Vitamin C?
It was Amber Von Tussle.
I don't know who Vitamin C is.
Vitamin C, the singer. She played like the graduation song.
Oh, she's the singer of that?
Yeah.
I didn't realize that Vitamin C was the name of the person. I thought that was a band.
No, that's her name.
Oh my God. Okay.
I didn't realize she was in the original. That's funny. Ruth Brown is Moto Mouth Martha. Is that her name? Maybell. Michael St. Gerard is. These are a lot of people that I have no idea who they are. Is right. Link Larkin. And then there's a bunch of other people. Sean Thompson, Corey Collins.
I think it's cool that Jerry Stiller played Wilbur in the original, and then he plays Mr. Pinky in the remake, because he's also in the remake.
But basically, did you want to go through like the different songs? Because I have a list of all the songs that are included in the original movie, not the original movie, in this movie, the 2007 remake, with Nikki Blonsky, Zac Efron, James Marsden, Michelle Pfeiffer, Brittany Snow, Queen Latifah, John Travolta.
John Revolting.
Christopher Walken, Amanda Bynes. What a strange group. I mean, it was 2007. So
it was 2007. But we can go through the songs if you want to. But honestly, they were so bad. They literally did not stick in my head. So,
well, the first one is like it opens up with Good Morning Baltimore, where she's like dancing around like a psychopath, rides into her school on a garbage truck.
On a garbage truck.
I mean, the delusion that this girl has is crazy.
She has that main character energy, and I get it. She is the main character, but also, holy fuck.
You said that, and now I'm gonna potentially make you a little bit mad because she reminds me a lot of you.
Oh. Do I have main character energy like that?
No, not the whole main character energy, but like the whole just do whatever you want. Like you'll just bust out singing in front of a group of people and like dancing, and it's like,
I mean, yeah, that's true. That's true. I do that. Not as much anymore. But also, we're watching this movie and I messaged you on Discord while I was watching it, and I was like, oh my God, I forgot how cringe it was being a teenager.
It's, yeah.
Ugh, we're coming to that part here in a few moments, I'm sure, when we're talking about the songs.
So then the next song was The Nicest Kids in Town with James Marsden and the council members. Mm-hmm. So this was like the introduction of the TV show.
Yeah.
Which it was okay, kind of stupid. I think it was funny the way that it showed how the nicest kids in town, and I put that in quotes, included some very abusive children, teens, because like she kept pushing people around, giving people dirty looks, making fun of people. And it's like the nicest kids in town are typically the ones that are the bullies, usually.
Yeah. The other interesting thing about that, though, about the nicest kids in town, is if you listen to the lyrics, it's literally all about how they're flunking out of school.
Yeah.
And they're doing all this shit, and they're essentially ruining their lives.
Yeah. And then the next one is It Takes Two, which is Zac Efron, which I don't even remember this one.
I don't remember that one either.
So we'll move on. And then the one after that is with Michelle Pfeiffer, where she sings about being Miss Baltimore Crabs, talking about basically rigging being Miss Baltimore.
Miss Baltimore Crabs, like not even Miss Baltimore, Miss Baltimore Crabs. Yeah. I'm like, bro.
Because, I mean, Maryland, like they have a crab on there.
No. I know. I know. But the way that she was singing it did not make it sound like it was the actual, like, crabs, the animal. It made it sound like she was singing about crabs, the lice.
I mean, probably. And then after that, it's Nikki Blonsky with I Can Hear the Bells. And this is where she's, like, lusting over Zac Efron. And
that's when I texted you saying, being a teenager is so fucking cringy.
Yeah. Because it's so strange.
I'm like, oh my God. And the horrible thing is, like, the worst part about that scene is I remember being like that.
Yeah. I know I was one. That's part of the reason I said she reminds me of you.
That was the worst part. Because I'm like, ooh.
So sad. And then after that, it was Zac Efron with Lady's Choice, which is kind of where it started turning into he's starting to like her a little bit, too, because he can see her like standing out and all that jazz. And it's like, meh.
I'm like, as a fat girl in school, that is not how that works.
Oh, I know. That was my biggest thing. I kept watching it. And I was like, the delusion about how the world works in these movies.
I'm just like that. I literally couldn't go to Walmart without somebody mooing or oinking at me.
Yeah.
Like, and you think the hottest boy in school is literally going to fall for you when he's clearly not even that invested in anything that you're trying to do. What?
Yeah. And then the new girl in town, which include Brittany Snow. First, it started off with like the white dancers, Brittany Snow, Sarah Jane Jensen. And then it moved to like the black dancers. So Haley Podgen and the Dynamites. Which was, I think that was the funnest part. Like, I liked that song and how it showed like the white version of it and then the black version of it. Mm-hmm. And she, like, what's her name? Queen Latifah's character got yelled at because they were singing the song that they wrote, but it was supposed to be for the white kids.
Right.
Because I mean, that's the thing that we haven't mentioned. And like, it's a 60s movie. So, like,
yeah, it is set in the 60s, but that is part of my problem with the movie, actually, because it tries so hard that it makes itself even more racist.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah,
like they sexualize these black teenagers.
Oh yeah, with like the dancing and
the songs that they sing. And because at one point, Seaweed is literally singing a song saying, the blacker the berry, the sweeter the juice.
Yeah.
Like, the darker the chocolate. And it's just like, why so dehumanizing? Because they're not food. Like, they're people. They're human beings whose rights are constantly being violated. But it's cool. Like, the only reason Penny's with him is because she's sexually attracted to him. Like, he becomes a sexual object. It's just... anyway, continue. Sorry.
Well, I think that kind of talks to her, like, sexual awakening, though. Because she's, like, this little prude that doesn't know very much. And she's, like, super, super shy, quiet. And then when she starts hanging out with this group, it kind of brings her out of her shell.
Right. But... one of the reasons that it brings her out of her shell is because she views them as being dangerous and other, and it's to kind of get back at her mother, which is all microaggressions to the nth degree.
Yeah. And then the next song is Welcome to the 60s with Nikki Belotsky, John Travolta, the Dynamites, and with Jerry Stiller. Jerry Stiller sings in this portion of it too.
The Welcome to the 60s.
I will say, I think that's the funnest song.
That is honestly the most fun song. I agree. Like, that, out of all the songs in the movie, that was probably one of the only ones I actually kind of enjoyed.
Yeah.
Which bothered me because I hate John Travolta.
I think the way that he was doing the voice, Nikki, no, it's so like him trying to do a Cher impression to me.
Right. Darn. And I'm just like, people in Maryland don't talk like that. Like, we've been to Maryland.
Yeah.
I've never heard anybody talk like that. Now, granted, we haven't been to Baltimore, so it could be different there.
And it was also in the 60s.
But even so, like, everybody else talks with a pretty average accent. And then she's over here. John Travolta's over here going, "Arn," and shit like that.
She was also stuck in the house for 10 years.
That doesn't change your accent if the people around you still have the same accent.
I don't know. And then the next one it says is Run and Tell That, which I have no idea what that one is. And I don't even know who these people are. Elijah Kelly and Taylor Parks.
Right. I only vaguely remember that one. It was not very standout.
And then none of them were, but the one after that is Big Blonde and Beautiful with Queen Latifah and the Negro Day Kids.
Ooh, vomit.
That's what it says.
I know, but that doesn't mean we have to read it. That was, I actually hated that song the most for many, many reasons. Again, the fetishization of black women for being bigger. Okay, then on top of that, Queen Latifah is singing about being blonde. Like, blonde is a very Eurocentric beauty standard that was forced on a lot of people, black people, to try and like make them more European looking.
Yeah.
So like literally she's talking about, you know, she gets all upset at Michelle Pfeiffer for saying, you know, having her do the commercial for the relaxing your curls, right? But then she's over here with relaxed hair in an unnatural color.
I bet it was a wig.
Like, I get that. But I'm just like, why are you... Why? Okay, she's over here. And Queen Latifah, it's very obvious that Queen Latifah's character is supposed to be, you know, the all-star black woman who's going to fix everything because that's what we force black women into. But, like, they do it while also making her reject the portions of her that are considered by white America, quote unquote, too black.
Yeah. And then after that, there's a big blonde and beautiful reprise with John Travolta and Michelle Pfeiffer. You're Timeless to Me. John Travolta and Christopher Walken.
That was so awkward.
I Know Where I've Been, Latifah with black cast, Blonsky and Kelly.
Yeah, that, I didn't understand the point of the song as much.
Yeah.
Like, it was supposed to be, you know, like this inspiring anthem for integration, but I didn't feel that vibe.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of got that when it was like, it was talking about like the history, like black history and black marches, and saying that they knew where they've been and like what they've gone through to get where they are. Like, I kind of understood it.
I mean, I guess, but it could have been done a lot better.
Yeah.
But also at the end of that song, when they run into the police, right? And fucking Tracy, what a fucking fake ass friend.
She ran away.
She ran a fucking way and let everybody else there get arrested, including her mother.
Yeah. Well, I don't think her mom got arrested, did she?
Yeah, because Christopher Walken talks about it after, saying he bailed all of them out. Which also, I'm over here like, how did he have enough money to bail out all of those people if they arrested all of those people?
Yeah. I mean, he owns a gag shop and he just made a bunch of money from Nikki's face. Or,
I mean, that's true. But I mean, it's just like,
Tracy, I'm Tracy, like, Turnblad.
I'm like, why? Hold on, because I texted my quad squad while I was watching.
Your quad squad? What does that mean?
That's what we call ourselves, the quad squad. Because there's four of us. So it's me, Nick, Horace, and Kat. Anyway. Oh my god. Anyway. Let me scroll up here because I said, Tracy is a fucking fake ass friend. She should have assaulted the police officer more since he was going to charge her for hitting him anyway. Might as well have made it true. And instead, she took off and let her friends and her mother to face the police. And then just shows up later and I was all like, oh, please hide me. And they're like, oh, okay. But bitch, you abandoned us.
Yeah, I thought that was a weird like turn. That she did just abandon them.
Right? And like, I know people, the whole three people that are listening who might have seen the movie are probably telling. But her mom told her to run. And it's just like, still though, like, if my mother had told me to run, I would not have run. I would have been like, fuck that. I'm not leaving my mother and my friends who I'm marching with saying, oh, I'm here in solidarity.
Like, she was kind of the one that was pushing to do the march anyway.
She was the one pushing to do the march. And she was the one who escalated things with the police because Queen Latifah wasn't escalating things.
Like, she got
She's the one who got them in trouble in the first place, acting like she's white savior.
It's insane.
It was insane.
And then after that one, it's Without Love.
Oh, yeah, that's the one with Penny and Seaweed. And I think Nikki Blonsky is also singing in that as well.
Yeah, it's Blonsky, Efron, Kelly, Amanda Bynes with the Negro Day Kids. I hate that term. And then it comes up to the closer to the end where it goes to It's Hairspray with Marsden and the council members. And that's the beginning of the actual like dance off, dance-a-thon thing.
Right.
And then
that Hairspray song, they're spraying hairspray everywhere. And literally all I could keep thinking was how fucking sticky they must be. Like their skin just must be constantly sticky. And
it definitely wasn't actual hairspray that they were using in the show. So then that's the dance-a-thon where they're trying to pick the Miss, what is it?
I don't remember. Gesundheit. Little Miss something pageant. Whatever. Miss Baltimore. It wasn't Miss Baltimore.
No, it was like Miss Hairspray or something like that.
Yeah, it was like Miss Hairspray or something like that.
Which kind of goes to show you that it's like it sold out and it was like being 100% sponsored. So capitalism. And then after that, You Can't Stop the Beat, which is kind of the ultimate like change from the where she like takes over and then the black kids start dancing too and all that. And then Come So Far, Got So Far to Go. I don't know what this one is. Cooties. And Mama, I'm a Big Girl Now. Which had Ricky Lake, Marissa Jarrett Winker. Don't know who that is. Nikki Blonsky with Harvey Fierstein.
Okay.
Yeah. I do have this little fun facts thing that we can go through too if you want to look at it from Reddit.
Sure.
send you this link. And then I have something fun I want to talk about after this. Okay. That has nothing to do with this. It's another musical that I was telling you I was watching whenever you finally joined 15 minutes later.
I'm so sorry. That was my bad. I was cleaning my bathroom and forgot what time it was.
Yeah. This is, I don't know how many this has, but there's a few of them. But it's just fun facts and trivia from the IMDb page, but it's posted on Reddit by r/blankies by the Funkiest Kong. Sure. And the first one is Aretha Franklin auditioned for the role of Motor Mouth Maybelle, but lost out to Queen Latifah. I wonder how different it would have been with Aretha Franklin.
I don't know. I don't think I would have liked it any better with Aretha Franklin, though, to be honest.
No.
Amanda Bynes' character, Penny, is seen constantly eating lollipops. Bynes' father, who is a dentist, became very worried for her dental health, as it was estimated she ate about 40 lollipops a day. She told him that she wasn't really eating all of them when in reality she ate them all.
Steve Martin, Robin Williams, and Tom Hanks were also considered for the role of Edna Turnblad.
You know, I would have liked seeing Robin Williams in that role.
Yeah.
It wasn't until halfway through production that Michelle Pfeiffer realized that the character she plays is actually racist, which how the fuck did it take you through halfway through production? She became worried about what people would think, but director Adam Shankman reassured her.
That's insane.
How did you... Bro.
Did you not... She must not have auditioned and was just cast for it. Like, she was offered the part and she just said, sure.
Right? And I was like, bro, but don't they usually do a table reading first?
I don't know. I think with Michelle Pfeiffer, probably not. No, she may not have needed to.
I don't know. I've always felt like if you don't do a table reading first, you don't have a good idea of who the character is. But I guess that's just like my acting experience coming through.
Yeah. According to the DVD documentary, director Adam Shankman made Zac Efron make out with the picture frame in Without Love sequence for hour after hour after hour.
Okay. Creep.
Gross.
Actor Dermot Mulroney plays cello on the soundtrack along with the Hollywood Studio Orchestra. I have no idea who Dermot Mulroney is.
I've heard that name. Why do I know that name?
I don't know.
Dermot Mulroney. Oh, he's in My Best Friend's Wedding. He's the
Groom. The only thing that I've actually seen him in, because I've never seen My Best Friend's Wedding, is The Family Stone and Insidious Chapter 3.
Oh, he was the dad in Insidious Chapter 3, wasn't he?
I think so.
Yeah. Then I also have something on E! News, if you want to look at that. There's 20, is it 20?
Sure.
No, 18. 18. Oh, no, it says 20 secrets about hairspray revealed.
Secrets?
I think it's more like behind the scenes things. Because the first one is talking about how Nikki Polonsky beat out 1,100 other actresses for the lead role and found out from a video from the director, Adam Shankland, being delivered to her while she was working at Cold Stone Creamery. And it was the night before her senior prom.
Oh, well, there
she was 17 years old in this movie. How old was Zac Efron? Because he looked young.
He did look really young. He looked like a child. A newcomer, Blonsky had never been on a movie set before Hairspray, choosing to star in the musical over going to college to study theater. One of the assistant directors said, "I'm going to teach you how to hit a mark." Blonsky recalled, "I said, why would I want to hit Mark? Because one of the dancers was named Mark."
Ugh, she's not a good person from what I understand. She's
not a good person.
She seems like a terrible person, and that makes sense.
Yeah, she's not a great person. She's also a racist in real life, so.
Yeah. While Zac Efron was one of the top teen stars in the world after High School Musical became a pop culture phenomenon in 2006, Shankland initially believed the actor was too Disney for the role of Link Larkin, Tracy's boyfriend, and the lead male dancer in the Courtney Collins show. But his time with the Disney Channel is actually why Blonsky thought Efron would be perfect for the role, predicting the casting decision while channel surfing with her brother one day. I don't. Why did she?
You know
she...
what's really funny though?
What?
About that is Zac Efron did not sing in the first High School Musical. That is not him singing at all.
No. I mean, he was like going through puberty, so it would make sense. I know. I'd like even on the Lizzie McGuire movie at the end where she's singing in the like Coliseum.
Mm-hmm.
There's a video that I just saw the other day that was showing, like, here's where Hilary Duff is singing. This is her not singing. This is not her body. This is her body. Because there's some of it that it's like, you can see that's definitely not her.
Right.
And they're not even, it's not even that they're doing like a stunt or like flipping or anything like that. She was literally like singing out to the group or the Coliseum, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the back of some person, but it's not Hilary Duff. And you can 100% tell it's not Hilary Duff.
Yeah. Oh my God. Anyway. Blonsky and Efron became close while filming, often going to Toronto Blue Jays baseball games or the local mall, along with their co-stars Amanda Bynes and Brittany Snow.
I like that Amanda Bynes has kind of turned around. Now she's kind of like just living her life. She doesn't want to be in the public eye anymore.
You know what? I love that for her because the public did her dirty.
Yeah. Blonsky turned 18 while filming that movie, and the studio threw her a beautiful, quote, birthday party, during which Zach carried my cake out. She revealed it was epic and definitely one of my most favorite nights of my life thus far.
Of course, Blonsky and Efron kissed on screen as Tracy and Link, but it was a surprise makeout during a July 2007 appearance on Canada's Much Music that really got people talking about the co-stars' chemistry.
I didn't think they had chemistry.
I mean, they had okay chemistry, but like, I don't think they had enough chemistry in the movie to really. And it wasn't genuine chemistry anyway, because he literally. Anyway, I just did not like this movie at all.
Yeah. The next one, there's a spelling error. E News, get your shit together. It says Blonsky revealed she didn't had a passport. She didn't have a passport and had only flown on an airplane one time prior to Hairspray's global press tour. While traveling the world was a blast, the actress said. It's always about the people you have surrounding you. I was lucky to have my mom and Zach. It was just such an incredibly fun time. I even laugh now about some of the wild and interesting stuff that happens when you tour the world with Zac Efron. For some reason, there's ads that keep popping up on this, so it like keeps jumping around. It keeps scrolling up and down on my screen. That's why I keep having to pause for a second.
No, you're good. Wow, my brain's quit. Blonsky went on to divulge one story about a hotel bartender who called her room at 5 a.m. asking for Efron's phone number and room details so he could impress his lady friends.
Gross. While executives were initially eyeing comedic actors such as Robin Williams, Steve Martin, and Tom Hanks to play Tracy's mother, Edna Turnblad, a character played by a man in all of its film and theater variations, producers Craig Zaden and Neil Marone spent a year convincing Grease star John Travolta to do it, according to Shankman.
Why? I don't know. He was one of the worst parts about the whole fucking movie.
Somebody said, so it says, if I want to cast the biggest male musical star we have, then the star would be John Travolta, the director wrote in a blog post for Broadway. God damn it. Broadway World. How crazy and wonderful would it be to see Danny Zuko as Edna Turnblad? Gross.
Blonsky told E! News that while Travolta spent 5 hours a day in hair and makeup, put on a much-discussed padded bodysuit to transform into Edna, which is the other thing I really fucking hate, she was more impressed by the emotional weight he put on while inhabiting the character.
I will say I was kind of really impressed with the prosthetics that they added, because it didn't look like it was prosthetics a lot of the time.
It looked like prosthetics to me the entire time. Hmm. People's faces don't move like that. People's bodies don't move like that. Like, especially like bigger women, like no.
Of all her Hairspray co-stars, Travolta is the one person who has always, always stayed in touch with me and always been a mainstay in my heart and in my life over these past 15 years, Blonsky shared. He really took me in as if I was his own child when we were filming. He taught me so much. Every year when I get a Christmas card, nothing warms my heart more. He is one of the most special people in my heart forever. Is he still alive?
Yeah, he is.
I always get him mixed up with Patrick Swayze.
How? Patrick Swayze is actually fucking cool. After being cast as Edna, Travolta recommended Christopher Walken play his on-screen husband, Wilbert Turnblad, and that Michelle Pfeiffer be considered for the villainous Velma von Tussel.
I will say, I really did like Michelle Pfeiffer in this show, this movie. I just like Michelle Pfeiffer, though.
I mean, that's fair.
The Notebook's James Marsden beat out the X-Men co-star, his X-Men co-star, Hugh Jackman, and New Kids on the Block's Joey McIntyre, to land the part of the talk show host Corny Collins after Shankman watched a clip of Marsden singing the TV series in the TV series Ally McBeal. Gross.
Okay.
Jimmy Marsden is the next Michael Bublé and Frank Sinatra all rolled up into one. He is unbelievable. I don't know that I would go that far.
Okay. Describing Amanda Bynes as the next Lucille Ball,
Jesus.
That's not...
Adam Shankman is out of touch with the world.
So out of touch, because what do you mean, Lucille Ball, the funniest, most progressive woman in Hollywood? The fuck are you talking about? Anyway, Shankman revealed the All That alum had been aggressively pursuing the supporting role of Tracy's best friend, Penny Lou Pinkleton, like a pit bull before she was cast. That's such a lovely way to describe her, too. Like, she was like a pit bull.
Oh, that might have been a very different show. Brittany Snow was cast as Amber von Tussel, Tracy's rival, after Hayden Panettiere was no longer available for the part due to her commitment to the NBC series Heroes. Ironically, it was Panettiere who would announce Blonsky's name when the 2008 Golden Globe nominations were revealed.
Ricky Lake, who originated the role of Tracy Turnblad in John Waters' Hairspray in 1988, that movie is as old as I am, made a cameo in the 2007 movie as William Morris, talent agent number one. Ah, okay. I know which one she was now. I thought she looked familiar.
Yeah.
A casting decision producers decided to surprise Blonsky with on set.
Tracy's chic beehive hairstyle for the Welcome to the 60s musical number was an accident. My hairstylist didn't mean to make it happen, Blonsky explained. She was taking off one of my wigs where I have the blonde streak in it one night, and she pulled it up and goes, oh, this would be a really cute look in the beehive. Or this would be really cute in a beehive. And then they elaborated on it into a full look.
Okay.
Why is this highlighted?
Why is what highlighted?
18, 19, and 20 are all highlighted for me for some reason.
Oh, mine aren't. The cast underwent 2 months of intense singing and dancing lessons before filming began in Toronto, Canada. The climactic musical number, You Can't Stop the Beat, took 9 days to film. Not that Blonsky minded the rigorous routine. I don't care what she thought.
Hairspray broke the record for the biggest opening weekend box office for a movie musical when it was released in July 2007, going on to make $203 million at the box office. Mamma Mia surpassed it gross the following year.
Okay. Blonsky definitely heard rumors forever about a possible sequel, though nothing was ever officially presented to her. But the star is still holding out hope for a follow-up. How would you even follow that up?
Yeah, no, thank you. So that was all we had on this movie. But I did want to show you something that I found this week. There's two clips that I'm going to show you that I think I'm obsessed with recently. So let me share my screen with you and I'll make sure to turn on my sound.
Okay.
Because I love these and they kind of sum up the reason that I'm kind of obsessed with the show or the Smosh characters. Smosh people.
Okay.
Because I'm laughing so much right now. Alright. So here's the first one.
Visiting the garage. Fucking a pregnant clown.
Well, maybe he's doing that.
And that's what I call that bitch.
I've never seen
Angela. Angela.
I have never seen a pregnant clown in my life.
Angela.
That was f***ed up, Angela. It must be hers.
I have so
actually think I just got it. I actually think that I just got it. I got it. No, I really
did. Vina's losing it.
Missing the.
So that's, they're playing, gosh, what do you meme or something like that? Or maybe, no, it's, what is that?
Cards Against Humanity?
Yeah, Cards Against Humanity. And it's funny how long it takes Amanda to realize what she meant by, and that's what I call that bitch. Angela and Amanda are my two favorite people from that show.
I remember you telling me that.
So the next one is a video clip from the movie or the musical that I was just telling you I was watching when you joined. Mm-hmm. And it's like clips of Angela's character and like the funny parts of her character.
Across your fucking eyes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And isn't it a bitch?
I look good in it.
I'm not going anywhere with you. My child, you wound me so.
So here is like my favorite thing that I think I've ever seen. This next clip with Angela.
Oh, I only wish to
put a dagger in my back.
Clever whore.
Man, why does Futures get to marry the twins?
Because your labor pained me, and I swore till that day I'd pay you back. So the time has come.
Oh my God.
I'll teach ya.
Oh, don't be so smug. Your time will come soon enough.
And I think that just kind of sums up what I love about Angela.
and I feel like that's valid. I feel like that's valid.
So the show is called Cinderella's Castle. And it's like a retelling of Cinderella, where instead of it being like his stepmother, she's like actually a troll that has like skinned and is wearing the skin of a like noble person.
That's mortifying.
So here's like the little for the thing on it. That, what is it called? The description, blurb. The blurb. Yeah. So it says Star Kid Productions invites you on a journey to the lands that are for a fantasy adventure filled with music, magic, and monsters. When Ella Ashmore's noble house is brought to ruins by a trio of skin stealing trolls, she seeks her revenge with the help of a fairy goddess, a frog knight, and his mouse squire. The gothic reimagining of the classic fairy tale features a book by Nick and Matt Lang, with music and lyrics by Jeff Blim. Nice. And then it says at the bottom, warning, Cinderella's Castle is intended for mature audiences. It contains adult language, humor, simulated violence or dismemberment, and imaginary that some viewers may find frightening. Discretion is advised. It's a really funny, I haven't watched the entire thing, but it's like it's over 2 hours,
right?
And it's just an entire musical that looks really fun, and just the clips keep coming up online, and that makes sense because it premiered just last week, April 4th, 2025.
Oh, nice.
And has 471,000 views already.
Love that.
It's a fun video.
Do you want to hear about a thing that I did?
Sure.
I messaged my husband yesterday.
Oh, yeah. So for those of you that don't know, Sarah is still technically married.
Yeah, I'm still, unfortunately, legally married. I have been trying for the past 5 years to no longer be legally married. But someone has not been cooperating. By someone, I mean him. So, I called a lawyer yesterday. And I wrote him and I told him that we are no longer friends. And that if he wants to talk to me, he can contact my lawyer. Like the next time that I contact him will be to give him my lawyer's information. So I spoke with a lawyer for a free consultation yesterday. And unfortunately, because I live in Texas and he lives in Indiana, he has to be the one to initiate the divorce in Indiana. It has to be done in Indiana.
I guess so, that makes sense, because technically you were married in Indiana as well.
Right. So because Texas has no jurisdiction over him, I can't start it here because they can't legally force him to come here and respond to my petition for divorce. So I'm going to have to get in contact with a lawyer in Indiana and see if they can help me, because I'm next year we'll have been separated for 10 years. 10. It was all cool in the beginning because, we were friends still, and, it was no biggie. We didn't really have a lot of money anyway, so who cared? We were just living our own separate lives. But then after I moved to Texas, it started being a burden on me still being legally married, especially when I started having all my health issues. So I've been literally begging him for 5 years to fucking get this done, and he isn't. So I've hit my limit. I'm fucking over this shit. So I messaged him, and he saw a message that I sent back in January, when Trump was first inaugurated, because one of the first things Trump said he was going to do was fucking try to get rid of no fault divorces, which is what our divorce would be, is a no fault divorce. We just don't want to be married anymore.
Yeah.
Nobody's at fault here. No big, we just don't want to be together anymore. And I messaged him about that and was just like, hey, I know, these other times that I've asked you were really important, but now it's really, really important. Cause if he succeeds, then we're legally stuck together. And he read the message and then never responded. And that has been something that has stuck in my craw this whole time. So yesterday, I guess I had just decided I was fed up. So I wrote him and I told him, it has become clear that you're never going to do what I need you to do. You're never going to hold yourself accountable for helping me complete this task. So if you ever need to get in contact with me, you can talk to my lawyer, because I'm getting one. And if he's not careful, I could really get a lot out of him, to be honest. There was no prenuptial agreement.
Yeah, but what does he have?
Not a whole lot, but it's the principle of the matter. I know he has money. I know that he has money.
No fault versus uncontested divorce. A no fault divorce is different from an uncontested divorce. Fault has to do with the reason for the end of the marriage. Whether a divorce is contested or not has to do with whether your spouse agrees with everything you are asking for in your divorce petition. In an uncontested divorce, the respondent or defendant, the person served with the papers, chooses not to answer the papers or appear in court, or simply signs off on the papers and essentially says they agree with everything that is being asked for. This includes not only the grounds for the divorce, but also issues such as alimony, child support, property division, and custody. An uncontested divorce can be a fault or no fault divorce, and the uncontested divorce moves forward very quickly since nothing is being disputed and a trial is not always necessary.
Right. But now I'm worried that it's, because originally it would have been a no fault, uncontested. But I can't get him to do what needs to be done. So at this point, it feels like it's no longer uncontested. But I don't understand the reasoning to keep me in this marriage.
Reasons for a fault divorce differ from those needed for an annulment. An annulment declares that the marriage was not valid at the time it was entered into and includes reasons such as one party being underage, nope, the spouses being too closely related, nope, or fraud or force used to get one person to consent. I guess technically no. Although you could kind of say fraud because not a very good person.
I mean,
this really took a weird turn, Sarah. We were talking about Hairspray and then Cinderella's Castle and Smosh, and now Sarah's talking about divorce. And this is one of the reasons I said I would never get married, because I think marriage is just a sham anyway, and it is a pain in the ass to try and get out of a marriage.
It really is. It really is.
And it just makes more sense to keep things separate. And if you need to have a household fund, then get a bank account where you have a joint bank account that you put money into, and then that goes towards the house.
Right. Where you have you can see clearly which account was depositing, into that account. It makes it really easy to divvy things up later. But I was smart in that we never got a bank account together.
Yeah, which to me that made sense because he never worked.
Right. He worked maybe three times during the entirety of our relationship. But at this point, we've been legally married almost 14 years. And we were only together for 4.5 of those years. I'm like, okay, all right. I don't know. Anyway, that's been the newest development on my end. So, what were you going to tell me at the start of the episode that you said we would get to in the recording?
Talking about the movie. Smosh. Or the show.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You're right. My brain's not working. What are you looking at?
I'm changing the background on my computer because I realized I have just a generic background that was included on the computer, but I have a better picture that I could change to from San Francisco.
Ooh.
The San Francisco Bay where we took the ferry the first time over to San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
I took a really good picture of Alcatraz, and there's a a sailboat in the picture as well.
Love that. San Francisco Bay is where my father's ashes were spread.
Well, that's fun.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. So I'm just scrolling through to find it.
The state of California cremated him because we didn't have enough money to get his body, but Oh, can I be honest? I'm always honest, but can I be inside voice honest?
No.
Okay.
What, Sarah? What?
I am really struggling right now. Everything going on in the world currently, and then everything going on in my own personal life, and I don't know what to do. I am struggling.
Well, my question, and this is the question that I ask a lot, is how much of it can you control?
Not very much of it.
Then why struggle with it?
Because it impacts my day-to-day living.
But can you control it? Ooh, that's much better.
No, I can't control it, but that's part of the problem, is that it's impacting me and I can't do anything about it.
Do you want to see my new picture?
Yes, I'd love to see your new picture.
Ta-da.
It's a black. Oh, there we go. Oh, nice. I love that. That's a great photo.
Yeah, I did pretty good.
I mean, you always take really good photos, though.
I miss California so much.
Oh my God, same.
I loved California.
Also, what's not to love about California?
The price.
The price, that's true. That's true.
I would say the traffic, but the traffic around here is garbage too.
Oh yeah.
The traffic West around Coast here East Coast. Is worse
yeah.
than I ever experienced in California.
The coasts have the worst traffic, in my opinion, both of them. Having been to both coasts.
speaking of, I was driving to work the other day and I was like, why does it seem like anytime there is any form of water on the road, people just completely forget how to drive?
I don't understand, because it makes sense here that people forget how to drive, because it doesn't rain that often here and they don't weather treat their roads. But you're living in Rhode Island, Massachusetts area, where it rains all the goddamn time.
Yeah. Most of where I'm driving is in Massachusetts, because I literally like drive out of Rhode Island. It's like 5 miles maybe, and then I'm in Massachusetts.
Right. That's what I'm saying. It rains in Massachusetts and Rhode Island all the goddamn time.
Yeah.
Like, the roads are weather treated. I don't understand. Like,
you know, you would think that they would have better drainage and stuff, but anytime it rains around here, it floods like crazy. Like, there are some times when it can rain for like maybe 20 minutes and it's not like even like heavy, heavy rain, and no one can get down like the highway that's right down the road from me because it just flooded. And then it like takes like an hour or so and then it goes away. It's crazy.
You want to hear something interesting?
Sure.
Rhode Island could fit into the state of Texas 221 times.
I did hear that actually just recently on a video that I was watching.
I want to see how many Rhode Islands can fit into Alaska, because Alaska is the biggest state and Rhode Island is the smallest state. So this says Alaska is big. You could fit Rhode Island into Alaska 425 times. Alaska is one fifth the size of the lower 48. Alaska is bigger than Texas, California, and Montana combined. And Alaska is also far flung. It's 62.5 times wider east to west and 29.1 times taller north to south than Rhode Island. That's crazy.
Rhode Island is tiny. It's like a 45-minute drive to get through Rhode Island. That's it.
Yeah, it's the smallest state.
Right. Are you doing anything fun this weekend?
I have date night tonight with Nick. And then tomorrow, what am I doing tomorrow? I feel like I was doing something tomorrow. Oh, I might be hanging out with my friend Stephanie tomorrow. We haven't gotten to hang out in a while, so we're gonna potentially get together and watch movies.
Stephanie.
Yes. And then, what about you? What are you doing?
I am going to do some school stuff because I have a paper that's due this week. And then tomorrow, Ryan and I were thinking about going to this place down in Westerly. I say Rhode Island's not that big, but it's like a 50-minute drive technically. And it's called, not that one, Ocean House. So it's technically a hotel, but they have restaurants in there, and on Sundays they have jazz brunch.
Ooh.
Where you can have brunch and listen to jazz music.
I love that.
So it says Sunday jazz brunch. This plated a la carte menu changes every week with all the abundance and flair that guests expect from the Ocean House Sunday jazz brunch. And it says, start with an impressive tower of unlimited charcuterie and raw bar offerings for the table to enjoy with unlimited mimosas, coffee, and juices. Then select one first course item, including salad and breakfast fare, and one breakfast or savory main entree, including eggs benedict, specialty pancakes, or French toast, and more. Experience all this while musician Greg Piccolo performs a combination of jazz, blues, and soul in the lobby.
Okay, work.
But, so we were going to do that, but then Ryan had to take... I don't know if I told you. Ryan got a new job.
Oh, no, you didn't tell me.
He started technically this week, but he was doing, like, training and everything all week this week. Mm-hmm. So he was still working at Davenport's. So he is moving. It's called Ovolo. It's a Italian restaurant. And he went to go take a menu test the other day, and he wants to retake it because I guess he didn't do very well. And I'm like, what is the menu test? It's basically where you take a test about all of the ingredients in the items in the menu.
Okay.
I'm like, well, that sounds stupid, but hey.
I mean, it makes sense if you're a server, though, because people are going to ask, oh, do you know what's in it?
But the thing is, it's all on the menu.
I mean, sometimes I don't know.
All the ingredients are written on the menu. I looked at the menu.
Well, then I don't know.
I'm like, I would just look at them and be like, it's right there. It says right there. Let me grab the menu and we can read it together. Dumbass.
Let me tell you a fun story about how people don't
read. I hate customer service.
Let me tell you a fun story about how people don't read.
Let me clarify. I don't hate customer service. I hate customers that are stupid and don't understand that they have the same facility and ability to read something that's in front of them and not ask.
Not everybody has comprehension skills, unfortunately. They read it, but they don't understand it. So when I worked for the Bureau of Motor Vehicles, there was this gigantic sign with an arrow pointing down at this computer screen. On the computer screen, on this big blue bar, it said, press here for ticket.
Yeah.
And on the sign above the computer screen, it said, press the computer screen for a ticket. You know? And then people would come up and they would like look behind the computer screen. They would like bend down. They'd be like, where do I get the ticket? You press the blue bar where it says, press here for ticket. You know how many times I had to say that a day?
I mean, I don't even do like customer service, but I deal with people asking me stupid things all the time. It's like, how do I finish this training? I'm like, I don't know. Maybe click on the button that says launch training, dumbass.
It's just like, what?
And then they're at the end of an e-learning and they're like, what do I do? What does the e-learning tell you? At the end, it tells you whether you pass or failed. And if you fail, you have to retake it. And there's usually a retake quiz button. Or right. It tells you, congratulations, you can now close this e-learning.
Right.
So close the e-learning.
It always says you can close the window when you're finished.
Yeah, it's stupid. So I ordered something for the podcast and it was supposed to be delivered on the 9th. And now I'm looking at the tracking history, and it started delivering from Wichita, Kansas.
Okay.
Went to Kansas City, Missouri.
Okay.
Then Chicago, Illinois. Then Oak Creek, Wisconsin. Madison, Wisconsin, back to Oak Creek, Wisconsin, back to Madison, Wisconsin, and now it's back in Kansas City, Missouri.
What?
I have no idea. But I ordered it, and it's been, I ordered it on the 3rd, April 3rd.
Uh-huh.
And on April 12th, it's back where it was originally shipped from for some stupid reason.
Okay.
And I ordered something from this company before, so I don't understand why this is such a big deal and such an issue.
Right.
So I'm annoyed. Because I was supposed to, like I said, I was supposed to have it last or on like Thursday, and it's now Saturday and I still don't have it. And it's back where it originally shipped from. So that's frustrating. Halfway, but anyways, would you like to call it a podcast?
Yeah, we can call it a podcast.
All right. Well, thank you for listening to this week's episode of Now About That with James and Sarah. If you like this episode, please give us a like, a comment. Don't forget to follow or subscribe. If you would, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. That will help get the podcast out to more people and help us grow. Feel free to follow us on social media. Our handle everywhere is at Now About That Pod. So if we do not come up in the search, then we're not on that platform. If there's a specific topic you would like us to discuss on the podcast, feel free to email us at nowaboutthatpod@gmail.com. Visit our website, www.nowaboutthatproductions.com, where you can call and leave us a voicemail or a text message with anything you'd like us to discuss. Our phone number is 765-557-4170. Fun thing, I ordered a new phone for the podcast phone.
Oh.
And it's like a, called Metamol. So it's a phone that doesn't have like, it's black and white screen, and it has like a built-in keyboard.
I love that.
And I was like, why not? So I ordered it, but it won't be here until May because it was like a, not really, it's like a pre-order thing.
Ah.
But anyways, thanks again for listening, and we have a great week since this will be coming out on Monday. Sarah, enjoy the rest of your weekend.
You too. Enjoy brunch.
We're not going this weekend.
I thought you said you were going this weekend.
We were going to, but then Ryan has to retake his test, so he wants to do it on, he's doing it on Sunday.
Oh, so I misunderstood. I thought you were saying that you were doing that this weekend.
Yeah. So he wants to practice and review the thing again. The menu again.
Okay, well, enjoy your weekend regardless.
Yeah. We'll see what we do. We'll go and get something at least anyway.
True.
All right. Bye, everybody. Bye.